Aniara presents Love for the Brokenhearted by Lisa Westerlund. Part 1. Mona. Valentine's Day. Ilse, are you sure Glenn wants to wear that? Glenn the cat rolled around in Mona's arms to avoid Ilse's determined fingers, and Mona did her best to get him to sit still. It was a lost cause, and when Glenn managed to climb onto Mona's shoulders, Ilse took a step back, put her hands on her waist, and shook her head in disappointment. She looked sternly at Glenn. Dad says it is important to be there for others. And today you need to be there for him. Don't be so selfish, Glenn. Selfish, Mona corrected her, and Ilse nodded. See, Glenn, Granny's on my side. Mona smiled, gently took hold of him and placed him back on her lap. As if the cat realized that it had no room for negotiation, it sank its head into Mona's lap and stared blankly ahead, as Ilse once again took out the collar and slipped it around his neck. Hi, paw, Ilse said pleased and nudged Glenn's paw with her hand. The collar was made with love and good intentions. Ilse and Miller had spent at least an hour decorating it with black glitter before attaching two white wild roses. Also that Glenn would match Ilse's glittery black jacket and hat. Miller had worked wonders with the hat, a second-hand find that she'd sprayed with glitter and then decorated with white flowers in what Ilse said was a really cool pattern. Mona put Glenn in Ilse's arms and adjusted her hat. What a handsome couple you are. Shall we go and see how the others are doing? Yes, are the confetti cannons ready? Uncle Fabian said it was like a magic snowstorm, Ilse said happily, almost jumping with excitement with Glenn in her arms. It was their job. So I hope so. A nervous tingle spread through Mona's stomach and she stopped just inside the door to the main hall. She ran her hands over her red floral dress and flattened out a crease. Like an insecure teenager, she shyly peeked out of the room, involuntarily holding her breath at the sight of the two men. They had taken off their jackets, rolled up their shirt sleeves and were deeply focused on the flower-decorated wooden stand that wobbled between them. Mumbled expletives could be heard as they tried hard to fit it into the aisle that led to the top table. Without success. They set it down with a loud thud next to three similar ones a little further away, then collapsed onto two chairs. She forgot for a second that she was hiding and burst out laughing. Mona, that's great. Come here. Can you help us fit this piece of junk in? Goran had quickly stood up and was looking at her expectantly, with a look that she had recently begun to both long for and dread. Of course. Have you thought about widening the aisle, moving the tables a little to the side? Four uncomprehending eyes met hers. Then Fabian turned round and looked at the dining room. Goran did the same, groaned deeply and sank deeper into his chair. Fabian in turn rubbed his forehead and smiled at Mona. No, we haven't. But I think I can speak for both of us and say that of course we should have done. Hell, this whole being the best man thing has made me completely stupid. He quickly jumped to his feet and tucked two chairs under his arms. It can be like that on big days in life, but Goran, what's your excuse? Mona regretted the words almost as soon as they left her mouth. She wanted to sink through the earth. She knew very well why Goran was out of sorts, and this wasn't the time or place for that conversation. Quickly changing the subject, she laughed and walked over to the chairs. I'm really grateful that you're doing this. Louise and Tompa will be so surprised. I was there when they tried to get confetti cannons for their first wedding, and the party organizer said it wasn't possible. The look of disappointment on Louise's face was truly heartbreaking. Ilse, who was now standing next to Mona with Glenn in her arms, nodded eagerly. Yes, Mum will be so happy. Dad will probably think it's rubbish, but he got to choose dessert, so he'll be happy anyway. Mona's earlier comment about Joran's absent-mindedness seemed to have been quickly forgotten, and everyone was instead focused on rearranging the tables.